podcast has changed my life.
Ben, it's lovely to meet you.
Yes, nice to be back.
Come on, sit down, tuck in.
This is not funny!
So you were at the lesbian night at the bank last night.
So I was at the lesbian night at the bank last night. I was drunk, Maddie was sober. Yeah.
So you've just taken her there. She's not even having a good time. This is just your ticket in because you like the music.
No, I'm technically with a lesbian, so you can't get mad at me. Even
she's sitting on the corner on her phone
reading a book.
No, she loves it. We love to dance. We love to have a good time.
So soberness doesn't imply.
No, she used to drive. For years, I didn't have a car, and she would drive me everywhere. And she just loves driving people in her car. And we'd go out, and she would not drink.
Can I mention something that has come up previously on this podcast?
Yeah.
Maddie is the one that you're in a sketch troupe.
Snake Pit.
It's a sketch group. Yeah, my improv troupe, Snake Pit.
Totally. Yeah. You always refer to sketch as if you think it's lame or improv.
Do I?
Yeah, is it like defensively?
Really?
I think so.
Wait, you've observed this. This is real. I think
you never make eye contact when you mention it.
You think stand-up comedians don't like it or something, but it's funny.
Sketch,
it's good.
Or improv?
Both,
or
probably, or I don't know.
But stand-up, I keep eye contact.
Yeah. Because then you're like, yeah, I'm working on this bit, man. But then if you're like, I was doing improv, you look away.
It is true. I think there is
you break
like
out
a,
in a sweat.
The listeners can't hear it, but I'm dripping.
He's crying.
But can I say, I've mentioned previously on this podcast, a conversation I had with someone who I'd let remain nameless at the time, but it was Maddie. And she was the one who said that when she's driving, she sometimes watches episodes of The Office.
Dude,
at the same time.
That's so crazy because I was doing the gig that you guys do on Monday, the Snake Pit one, and me and like a few other comedians were like sitting at the back watching the show, and she's at the back just watching The Office
she
on her phone.
Why is she only
watching The Office?
And then you're saying that she loves driving people around. I think she just likes The Office.
No. So she
I wouldn't get in the car.
I think that Maddie's like an untapped dictionary that no one's looked into because she's so. You know, she keeps it. She doesn't keep it a secret. It's just like whatever. Mm. So yeah, Maddie at a comedy gig, she's on her phone. Mm. We say I'm gonna do my taxes because at Standout when it was at the Foresters, sometimes she would often bring her laptop and I'd be like, what are you doing? She's like, I'm doing my taxes. I don't know. I don't want to watch this. Like,
oh my God.
That
is maybe the most disrespectful thing I've ever heard.
Well, or it's someone who's like, it's someone who's not on top of his taxes. I quite admire it, finding
impressive.
The time to do it.
There is a bit of a an obligation, somewhat. Sometimes some people think that you should watch.
Yeah.
I don't think that you owe it to anyone in particular to watch. But I feel like openly having your computer out and doing the most boring thing, probably the hacky example of a boring thing,
taxes.
Is maybe
it's hard for someone to believe you when you say great set when you're watching The Office. On your laptop.
I don't think she'd. She will say great set. But that's the thing. She's very.
Great deduction. I mean set. I mean performance.
I don't know. She's very nice. That's
oh,
awesome.
I know she's
lovely.
Absolutely. She's
so,
the best.
So yeah, she's watching the Office. She's on her laptop. Whatever.
And she was doing this at the lesbian night last night?
No.
While driving. I'm doing my taxes. I'm watching The Office.
So when she drives me or when we're in the car together, her policy is. Either music on and no talking, or music totally off, and that's it.
And The Office, no.
No, and the Office is alone.
That's
so,
solitary.
So this is the layers here.
Hang on. So that's the music, but no talking. So if you were like, oh, I love this, shut up.
Yeah.
Is what
no.
You
it's like
back.
It's like I try to have the radio on initially early in the friendship. Radio on. Yeah, so I was at McDonald's, and she's like, sorry, I just can't hear you when there's all this noise happening. So it's like, turn it down. And
fair
then,
enough. I'm with her there.
I like that one. I like both of those options because I quite like listening to the radio or whatever. It's like,
I
shut up,
it.
Yeah.
Oh,
I wouldn't mind having a bit of a, I think in that situation, maybe just turn it down a little.
I turn it down,
and
yeah,
then
of course.
Just have a little bit of background kind of under the conversation, kind of so there's not an obligation to speak
it
all the time.
It buoys the, you know.
Absolutely.
The uncomfortable. But
that's
silence.
The thing Americans do. They say buoys instead of boys.
Oh, yeah. I learned that in swimming. I did that.
Yeah, you swim out to the buoy.
Hang on. You learned that as you were cheating.
The words are, what?
You're not meant to have boys while you swim.
Yeah, you can use a pool buoy. That's a pool boy. What are you, a boy?
Pool boy. Yeah,
pool boy.
And that's why you say buoy to
which
differentiate.
Which is the thing you stick between your thighs to stop you from kicking.
What?
You use it in training.
That is a training thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I thought we were talking about the boy. Like or the buoy. Say if you're in the harbour and you can't take your boat too close to the rocks.
That's a similar buoy. Another type.
Yeah, but it's still spelled poo. Anyway, so you're at the lesbian club. You come to the rug. Yeah. Maddie's in the corner hating it.
She's having a great time. Yeah. No, just on the office thing. When she's alone, I don't think it's all the time, but she will have the phone playing The Office or whatever. She's watched so many TV shows, every episode of Friends, every episode of The Office, like just it's playing on the side. She's not looking. She's hearing it. That's what she said.
I don't believe her.
No.
I feel like you'd look. If you heard something crazy happen or one of your favourite moments or something shocking happened, you'd instinctively look a little bit. And a child
Sitcoms, you can kind of put... I find you can put them on in the background and go about your day a little bit. I don't know about driving. Home, driving is such a big one. Yeah.
No, I think you're assuming a level of logic here that's just not at play. Like, it's just...
But it's instinctive. If something fascinating... If let's say, Michael Scott turns to Dwight and says, oh, my God, put your ass away, you'd be like... And you'd have a bit of a look. You'd have a peek.
Michael Scott says, pull over. You're about to hit a car.
Exactly.
No. You're like, oh, that's me.
You're imposing a level of, like, I suppose, attention to detail and kind of, like, self-control that I just don't believe Maddie has necessarily. I feel like it would be superhuman levels.
I don't think it's self-control. I think it's, like, ignorance. I think she displays this level of, like... Of apathy that it's not, it's like, I don't know what, there's no intention.
Nothing
behind
can tempt
it.
Her over there.
She really doesn't care. I'll call her and she'll be like, yeah, I can talk. And she's in the shower. Phone on speakerphone in the shower. all the time.
She loves multitasking.
She doesn't give a single fuck.
Yes.
She pulls out her phone in her house to watch TikToks with company present.
Yeah.
Full volume. She does not put the volume down.
So now that's fine, but she can't have the radio on and speak at the same time?
Because she's not talking to someone.
Mm.
And I'll have to be like, can you turn that down?
Because she's not involved in the conversation.
Wants to be entertained.
Do you think she'll like this chunk of the podcast or not?
She won't hear it. She'll never hear it.
She won't listen. Even if it was on, she wouldn't pay attention.
She doesn't listen to podcasts. Not comedy. I don't think she listens to comedy podcasts.
Well, she needs. She sounds visual. She sounds like quite a visual person.
She is. Oh, my God. I don't want to talk about Maddie the whole time.
No. I think this is important. Forever.
She did. And I always say that she's the most talented member of Snake Pit. Well, there's only two of us now, so it's in contention. But
right.
You're going to have to.
No, I have to. But she, in school... Here's what she did. She did taekwondo. She was a taekwondo instructor. She could do that full kick all the way up in the air.
Oh, man.
She used to do that, like...
That's crazy.
As, you know, for pictures. She did, like, all of the creative HSC things that you can do. So she, like...
Society
she did,
and culture.
Like, textiles.
Art.
I haven't heard someone say society and culture.
That was a classic creative person.
Oh, that's funny. It like, didn't get ranked for your ATAR. That's how, like.
Oh, it scaled poorly, that one. Oh, actually, I mean, I joke. I think it scaled kind of in the middle. I think it was because you had to do like a project about something.
Yeah, I think it was
better than like the, you know.
Anyway,
I'm trying to think of another
example.
Not
relatable to me at all.
Sorry, I'm so sorry.
Oh, just like, yeah, she can sew, she did dance, like all, she did like fucking jazz, fucking
dance
tap.
In the HSC.
No, she's not in the HSC, but just like in terms of curriculum.
That would be scary with the examiners.
In terms of life skills, not life skills, in terms of general skills to have, she's got it. She can do it all. And it's not even like a look what I can do.
Would you describe it as the X Factor?
It's like, it's almost like. It's worse.
She watches
than
that in the car too. Yeah.
No, I don't think she thinks she's not sitting at home being like, God, I'm talented. She just does it. She shows up. Have you seen her wear that green? She has a green dress and a pink dress.
No,
they're like cupcake dresses. You don't know.
No.
They're like these crazy dresses. She made them. She made them herself.
That's
and she's
crazy.
Not like she's not going around being like, I made this.
Yeah.
She just wears it and she's
totally.
Like, isn't this funny? Like
yeah.
it's like it's
I mean that
to
does
her.
Sound like the X Factor to me. I don't know what the X Factor is, but. That sounds like it could be. You're making the dresses, multitasking, being the funniest member of Snake.
Hitting pedestrians.
She's a fabulous driver as well. Whenever we go road trips, she always drives. I'm actually, like, I'm a good driver, but I go slow.
Mm.
One time when we drove to Melbourne to see the festival, the first time I ever went, very exciting, we drove overnight to get there. It was hell.
You drove overnight?
It was hell. Jesus there was four Christ. Of us in the car. It was me, Maddie, my then-boyfriend, soon-to-be ex-boyfriend at the time, and then my best friend who was kind of having a meltdown.
Awesome.
But, you know, it was awesome. And so
during the trip?
Yeah. It was like, it was Friday and I was at uni and Maddie was like, what if we went to the festival and like watched comedy? Like, wouldn't that be crazy? And and I was like,
were you guys doing comedy at the time?
Not like, just not really at all. Like, she was, she'd been doing stand up, but I hadn't touched the mic yet. I'd been doing improv. I was an improv guy. Sure. So I was like,
that counts.
Didn't look at us in the eye when you said that.
It counts.
Come on, man.
I don't know. I think it's, I don't think that it's that hard. So I don't know. It's not, to me, it's like, I'm not being like, yeah, all my improv. Yes. To me, it's easy. And it's like, you guys riff. You do improv, kind of.
Well, look, yeah. No, thanks, mate. Give you
Give me his judge.
Do you know someone told me today that there's a comedian, he used to live in Melbourne. Oh, no, he lives in Melbourne now, from Perth originally. Was an improv guy and got a yes tattooed on one wrist and on the other one.
No.
Fuck. Yeah, isn't that crazy?
That's so dangerous.
It is dangerous.
I used to
that implies that's the part of it that he couldn't remember, that he needed it on his hands.
Well, that means it's scripted.
Exactly.
That's what do I say?
Improv.
Yes, and
he's fucked himself there.
You've remembered all of it. Yeah, that's crazy. It's I used to believe this, and then I stopped believing it, and now I believe it again.
Mm.
But the philosophies of improv are actually philosophies of life, and they're true.
Whoa.
It's like the closest thing to a religion that I probably have.
Totally.
And it's embarrassing. Really?
What are the philosophies?
No, that's exciting.
It's just stupid bullshit. Like, they're like, you can get these like
Lord Jesus Christ is our savior. It's like, no, that's Christianity. It's not improv.
All I can think of is Italian, like Buongiorno Santa Maria. I don't even speak Italian. It's like shit like, if you're not having fun, you're the asshole. Which is like you know, it's like an improv thing. It's like you get to choose to have fun, or like, it's like,
well, that's good.
You know, just be nice. Like,
what's the rationale there? So if you're in a scene and you're feeling kind of like it's going nowhere, and you're probably the one blocking it and getting in the way, and you should.
Yeah. It's like a really
look inwards first before blaming others.
Absolutely. Jesus. Well, it's true.
You could start a religion with this.
It's just, well, that's what improv is. That's what happens when people take the classes.
Well, it's a bit of a pyramid scheme, surely.
I feel like you need to find a middle ground, because you began being like, oh, it's nothing. Improv's nothing. Now you're like, it's God.
Everything.
Like, no. I feel like it's in the middle somewhere.
But maybe that's why I'm looking away. I'm downplaying how big it is.
Totally. People need something to attach themselves to, and if that's improv, then that's, I think, a great thing.
I think so.
I think a lot of people do. They put their faith, as opposed to a religion, they put it in, like, you know, like music or a football team.
Totally.
For example, yours is improv. For sure. I think that makes total sense.
I think so.
Are there any other tenets that come to mind
that
have religious
off the top
qualities?
Of my head. I mean, it's like fucking...
Who taught you these? Did you do some sort of course?
I have done a lot of improv classes. Oh,
can you... Because I've thought about doing some...
Yeah.
I mean, maybe early on. I don't know if I'd do... I don't know now if I would have time. But, that's my excuse. I mean, I could find time.
I'm pretty busy.
But, I don't know what I would do. I don't know what I would get out of it now. But, I'd learn still a bunch of stuff. But
you absolutely would, yeah.
But I'm always curious about what it would be like to do an improv class. And is everyone going in there wanting to be a comedian? Or are they like...
No.
Some people use it for... I was talking to someone who wanted to get over anxiety and talking in front of people and like use it in that way. And that's quite common.
I would say the majority are normal people who... It's like...
This is where I wouldn't enjoy it.
Because you're not a normal person. You need to be with the elite.
Is there a way to come in at level 3 or something?
No, but I reckon you should come in at... I reckon you would go to the early
level 1.
I reckon
you... then you could get some big laughs in there.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I don't want to tell you what you'll be like, but it's one of the most humbling things, because it's improv.
When you do
like
it,
when you do classes and shit, it's like you are not rewarded for being funny. You're rewarded. You don't get rewarded. The reward is the joy of the art form.
Well, the reward is you pay, what is it, $400 or $500 for this course?
It's fully, totally. And I was talking to Maddie about this, because I just got a job. I just got hired as a teacher.
I was going
to
say, are you teaching?
I'm a teacher now.
Yeah, oh, well done.
It,
awesome.
It like, just happened. I just shadowed on Saturday, and this Saturday I'm teaching my first class.
Oh, well, should we all pop in?
Oh my god,
improv time.
Really?
I teach the open jams now.
Oh,
imagine I get fired like immediately.
Yes.
But at this moment in time,
for watching The Office during this.
Now watch this, guys. I did a lot of good work in the show. Okay,
actually, all of this dialogue is improvised.
Oh my
you
god,
get in your car, you drive away. Now they're watching The Office while I drive.
What is the open jam?
So, oh my god, so it's basically like you pay, I think it's $10, and it's 2 hours long, and you show up, there's a teacher, and you're led through basically like exercises, like you do warm-ups, and then you do exercises, like improv exercises that you like practice different skills, and then the last bit of the class you do scenes. And it's like, oh. The idea is it's like you're playing with people you don't normally play with, which is like when you're a student, you just play with randoms all the time, or you're playing with the people in your class.
It's
like,
funny that totally. You call it playing.
I know, isn't it gross? Yeah,
it's so all, funny. Yeah.
And the fact it's called the gym, like,
yeah,
improv culture is so embarrassing. Like,
I feel like they need, yeah, every 5 years just change a few of the words and it would be better.
But what do you call it?
But when you see good improv, it is like some of the funnest sites. You know, like you and I have both done those, the New Zealanders, what are they called? The
Snort. Oh, they're
and
good.
It's so fun. You do the monologue and then they riff your monologue, or they play out your monologue.
They're great.
And it feels like you're part of, you're not really in any way, but it's like
they
play
when they mention what you say, you're like, yeah, so me as well.
Yeah.
Yes. But those shows are fun, so much fun. Mm. And I mean, it could always be like that. I mean, I don't know. I don't go to classes. I never see improv, so I don't know.
But then
so
who's doing these classes? Are these all amateurs that you're
teaching?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. So everyone doing classes, it's like, it's so interesting. Comparing like the improv, you know, life cycle to a stand-up comedian. Stand-ups, you just do open mics forever until you, you know, quit or whatever.
Brutal. Did you almost say kill yourself?
Yeah. And I thought, well, yeah,
it's really interesting comparing it to where you just do it for ages that's until you kill yourself. And ours is like a religion where we kill ourselves too, but we ascend to some sort of higher plane.
And it costs $2,000. yeah, you do, but in improv world, you do... Well, it's kind of different. I feel like theatre sports was the majority in Australia. I don't know, you know, the history of improv in Australia. But from when I came in, it was like theatre sports was hot, and that's what we call short form. So the idea of short form is like you make an agreement with the audience. It's like, we're going to play a game where the first letter of every sentence is the next letter of the alphabet. You know, like, all the birds fucking are here. Hell. Boy, I'm happy to be here. Charlie, what are you doing? You know, whatever.
Yeah.
Look at that. Wow.
Yeah, right.
And that is...
That's one of the most autistic ones I've ever heard. It's just no fun in it. It's just like... It's not about the vibe of it. It's not about the situation or the relationships between the characters. It's just the words will structurally be in accordance with the rules that we set.
Exactly. And that's like Whose Line Is It Anyway is short form. And that's... Yeah, and, you know, we watched the rise and the fall of Whose Line Is It Anyway, AU, you know?
It fell off. I thought, did it rise? Yeah. I mean, it got made, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't want to, you know, roast everyone that was in it.
Oh, no,
yeah,
no, no, no. I think they all agree, don't they, that it didn't go very
I think so,
well.
Yeah. Because it's, yeah, it's, improv is one of those things that, like, people on the, like, when you don't really know it, you're like, oh, that worked. We'll just do this again. And then it's like, it's so dependent on vibe.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
And like, and
the people in the audience need to be all set for it. I feel like the American Whose Line, I haven't watched heaps of it, but it's just been on during our like childhoods or whatever. They are killing it there. Like,
so
the audience like really love it.
They're great.
Generally when I see improv, it kills way harder than stand-up.
But then sometimes, and I feel like maybe this is the issue and maybe this is why there's a bit of a perception that it can be cringy.
It
at
sucks.
Its worst.
Yeah.
It's the same with stand-up at its worst.
It's
totally bad. But
it's
like,
worse.
I think,
really?
And it's
you
very
think?
Worse. It's cringier because you're aware watching that they don't have anything and you're watching them struggle and it's like...
Yeah.
I remember watching, you know, 10 years ago or something, some improv show where I think it was, I think like Carlo and some like Sydney people that were like, were doing it at uni were in it and they were called like the experienced people. And then there were like school students that did it as well. And it was like school students versus the experienced ones. That was the
old
premise.
Old school versus new school, whatever.
Something like that. And there was this poor 16-year-old kid who hadn't been that involved because you're kind of watching like some of them are taking charge in a lot of the scenes and then some of them are kind of standing back. And this kid hadn't done anything yet. And I think someone mentioned... There was a character that had been referred to that was a chicken, and then someone had talked about a hip hop kind of concept, and she marched to the middle of the stage and started doing a rap as a chicken, and she was like, "My name is Chicken, and I'm here to say," and she was like, "Bugawking," like with her arms, and then just. You know, that's a big thing to commit to. Couldn't think of a second line.
Oh, my God.
She couldn't get a second line.
And then was just doing the chicken dance,
like
very enthusiastically, clear, like face full of panic. Never seen anything more panicked in my life. and just everyone's like, ah! Like, I've never been part of a more
someone
awkward.
Tap, someone tap.
Exactly.
And scene.
It's so funny. Everyone's yelling, cut.
Do the first line. I'm a chicken and I'm here to say, scene, we're done.
That's the end of that.
I won't bring it down there.
You got the audio. Sometimes it should be instead of yes and no.
You get out. Yeah, no. Stop. I wish you stopped in the first place. Maddie and I do think when stand-up, when improv is bad, it's worse than bad stand-up. Because I think stand-up, I mean, I don't know what quote-unquote normal people think of these art forms. Mm,
it's such a good
They probably
point.
Think yeah, that I both are bad, you know?
Both when they're bad are bad.
When they're bad, they're bad. But,
well, stand-up, I think, is just more, you know, more accessible. You can just think about it much easier than improv.
I think
as a general person.
When you watch stand-up, like when I used to watch it at the very beginning, I thought that the person just got up and just started talking. And I didn't know it was pre-rehearsed. I thought it was like, oh my God, Amy Schumer is so funny. She just, you know, that's just who she is or whatever. And, you know, whatever. So, but improv, I think it's like you have in terms of crushing harder, the bar is lower in terms of like getting audience to laugh, because there's this element of danger that's like, oh my God, they could lose it all. They could.
Well,
fuck
it's more
it all
impressive
up.
To get to like a mildly funny thing because people are coming up with it on the spot.
In the same way, like a lot of crowd work laughs don't count. Not that they don't count.
Yes.
But it's just kind of like once you've done it a lot, you realize the spontaneity is the thing.
It's
people
everything.
Being like, this is a moment in the room that can never be replicated.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that people are getting behind.
Oh my God. It's the posting of crowd work clips on. You've both done this probably. And this is fine.
I know.
Instagram.
I would if I had a good one. I don't have any good ones.
You
I would post one. Them in a heartbeat.
Didn't you post one that was like
I posted
a crazy guy in the audience?
Recently, yeah,
no, but
yeah,
I think that's
classic.
Different to oppose just
a
being like.
Thing. Yeah, yes. It wasn't just you being like, what'd you say? Tomato? Like, it was like,
I mean, you're chatting and it's like a situation thing there is like you're more likely to post that, I think, than a clip of a bit that you want to do again.
You would think that.
But in the same way, like, it's like good improv.
Yeah, I agree.
Good stand up crowd work is like so good. Like, almost a bit. Like, Moshe Cash has got this crowd surfing album and it's so sick. It's all like he gets stories from the crowd and it's all improv stand up crowd work stuff. Like, that to me is like
Kyle Legacy kind of.
I mean, he's great, that guy. Yeah. No, he is. I would say last night he was so funny.
He's funny because he can. Yeah, it's improv. It's like he can be amazing and then at times it's like, what are you doing, man? It's the best. It's great. I love it.
Totally.
But Tom's on you're getting heckled, though.
You're getting heckled.
I didn't get. No,
someone
just left and I asked where they were going.
Brother.
And they had diarrhea.
And they said, the friends said immediately that they had, what do you call it when you have like
IBS?
Irritable bowel syndrome?
Oh, IBS.
Or something?
No, IBS. Oh, yeah. And that they were leaving the pub to go shit somewhere else, not at the actual pub, which I just found. I mean, that's, it's just insane
to reveal
that about
it.
Your friend.
I would do the shit at the other place, but if my friend sold me out, I would never,
just
I would
be like, leaving to make up an excuse. Don't be like,
it's so easy. I've got to go make a call.
Immediately. So embarrassing.
A call to the loo.
I probably said about my friend.
I suppose.
But it's like,
that was one where I wasn't really sure. Like, it went for a while and it's like a funny thing to talk about in the room and everyone feels like it's a bit special, so you keep doing it. But then you are like, did they make that up? Like, are they just trying to be funny? Because sometimes people just, they're trying to be funny. And then you're like, imagine. And they're like, well, we did imagine. And then you're
sucks.
Like, sucks. Yeah.
The truth is the best. It's like,
exactly.
You know what I mean?
The
and
truth
that's
sets you free.
That's an improv tenet, actually.
What?
The truth?
Oh my God. Here's a fabulous thing about improv that like makes your spirit soar.
Yeah.
there's like a
lot of high bars being set.
My spirit's soaring out of this room right now.
It's like, okay, it's this idea that like, people, if you're a student of improv, you're worried that, you know, what if I go on stage and I say something that someone else does or something else someone else says, or I'm doing scenes
copying
that people do all the time.
Oh.
Yeah,
can you rip people off in improv?
I mean, you could copy other people if you wanted. You know, we could copy the Bear Pack. If you watch someone, you know, you do it. You see what they
there's
do.
There's a lot of, like, kind of standard things you see people do, particularly newer people, I reckon.
Yeah.
I'd love to copy
often people end up kissing.
Yeah,
physical stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, what are you seeing? What?
I remember maybe someone
in like
told
amateur
me that.
Improv.
Yeah, I think you want to make it dramatic.
Yeah.
And so I think that's people's first
they
instinct.
They say fucking escalation.
Yeah.
That's what, yeah,
there
that's
we go.
A, they had a teacher that's like,
there's a fucking word for it. You were just like, really?
No, he's a coach. He was coaching you.
Like letting me
he's
get
a teacher.
To
yeah.
You're good, actually, man. My spirit is.
No, this is the lesson about the spirit, the snoring. It's like, So every single person, right, no one else has lived the life that you've lived, right? Like maybe you have a sibling that you were always together, but the way that you experienced everything and took it still in different. And internalized it, still different, right? Yep. That's different for every single fucking person in the whole fucking world. And improv, truly, it's like your unconscious brain being forced to like spit out of your mouth and it's like
into the other person's mouth, and that's how you end the scene.
Exactly.
And that would be funny.
That's
to see.
Yeah. Kissing, because there's a bit of a gap. The spit just travels through.
It's unique. It's different.
Exactly.
This sounds like a very elaborate justification for plagiarism.
That's it.
You are other. Yeah. It's being expressed by a different spirit. And so that's why I did my
funny bridesmaids, you know, recreation on stage.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Next time I'm new. Stealing another comedian's joke, I will think about that. I'll be like, no, when I do it, it is different because I've lived a different life and I'm a different performer.
What's that, Luke Heggie? I've stolen your last hour and did it verbatim. Well, get ready for your spirit to soar, because I have a justification that's going to absolutely blow you away.
That is enough to almost get me in, maybe. It's what you crazy. Just said. That did.
Do you
like
know what the fucking crazy thing is?
Me.
Yeah, sorry, just absolutely cut you off.
No.
This is the fucking crazy thing. Mm. So, because improv is like unconscious, people don't like newer performers, you know, what
one do people
to five
reveal
years.
Secrets?
Yeah. But what they reveal is how they really feel about themselves and how they really feel about the other person on stage.
Totally.
And they can't control it.
Yes.
So, like, someone who is really self-conscious...
That's scary.
...that they're bad. Yeah, it's scary.
Yeah.
They'll come into every scene and they'll play characters that are sad. They'll say things like, nobody likes me. Like, they will establish facts of the scene that make them suck.
Nah.
Or they're like, I'm ugly. Like, they will play characters that reflect what they think they're like.
Totally.
They're like, I'm playing an improv character bombing. That's my first character.
Totally.
So what do you do? So do you have to tell them to fight that?
Or do you tell them about that? Are they unaware that that's going on and you as the teacher are observing everyone kind of revealing their deepest, darkest secrets?
Yeah, so it's like, it's really
that's
like...
That's sick. I want to be a teacher.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's sort of like...
You can't go straight to... I know you want to jump a few levels, but you can't go straight to teacher.
Like, hello, I'd just like to do the group bit at the beginning where I see into your minds and then I'm going to leave.
No, I will clarify for my my job's sake that I've only observed this as a performer, and as a teacher, I've observed nothing but beautiful improv. But I've only done one class, but
totally.
I like for depending on like how new someone is, they won't be aware that it's happening. And
totally.
If you told someone like, hey, I've noticed that you're doing characters that are always really aggressive, often people will be defensive or they'll be like, I don't think that's true.
Probably wouldn't be good to tell them that at the beginning.
No.
You
don't
let
tell.
Them.
Yeah. Well, the idea is the first hurdle is you have to get people used to just saying anything.
Yeah.
Because like it's such a hard impulse to like put someone out there and be like, melon. And the person to be like, all of these melons are $5. Like people will just be like, can I say ball? Is that okay? Or is that too similar? Like, they're just like the doubt and the, you don't know, like, you know, whatever. That's like the first hurdle. And then it just goes on and on. And it's like along the way of the learning, you accidentally reveal this crazy stuff in your brain.
It's like therapy, but in front of everyone, and you're trying to be funny. That does now. Aren't you scared?
It's fucked
up. Why am I scared about doing it?
Yeah, because you're going to reveal your deepest, darkest urges
and
how you feel about every other character.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because those
are
my two concerns. One is the new one, the revealing, but then also I feel like what I like about stand-up is control, whereas I did one improv game as part of a university review once, and I didn't like that. I mean, I had a funny idea for something, and then someone else was like, melon. And I'm like, fuck out of here with melon.
Yeah, dude,
shit.
Remember when we've done those fringe shows, and then all you do is block me and Cameron every time. We're just chatting, and we're like, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, no, that didn't happen
that
at all.
That wasn't blocking, that was truth. And that was running with it.
But
actually,
that is the rule that it's truth is the best, right?
No. It's support and have fun. Those are the two. Those are my golden rules.
Interesting.
Support and have fun, and support your friends to have fun. So if they're having some fun, you better get on board, Mister. Or you're a little bitch.
Totally.
Yeah.
Is that what you say?
As a coach,
you're all right. You're a little bitch. You need to get better.
I do love treating like comedy and improv as like a sports game. Like watching someone, you know, saying their joke, and then in the back of my mind, I'm like, come on, learned it. You know
what I mean? Totally.
Thrilling.
But I watch it like that. yeah, when I have a friend on or someone I care about doing comedy, I do watch that way.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on. I'm like, you got them here, you know, like you're going to put the foot down now and, you know, do better.
I like it as well when there's a bunch of them and you like one guy and then they've just been like kind of standing around not doing much and then they come in, you're like, oh shit, is this edition going to be good? And then it's fucking sick and it changes the whole thing. It's
Oh, you're talking about improv. Wait, totally. What improv have you seen? Because like, what, you know, what else?
Mainly Snort.
Mainly Snort. Yeah,
awesome. Yeah, they're great.
I mean, that's pretty good.
But I remember I did Snort in Edinburgh, and in my monologue, firstly, I got a word I didn't understand, which was humiliating. I said, I don't know what that word means. Because you know what they do, someone from the audience. Oh, no, they said aardvark.
Yeah, you didn't know what that was.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I was like,
such a fucking shit.
But I remember just going like, oh, I think I said, I don't want to do that or something like that. And, but then I think I knew kind of what it was, but I was also like,
what is it? It's an animal.
It's like a weird animal. It's just one of, but I don't think they say it in a dictionary. But it's not a big thing in Australia. Yeah.
No.
No, it's like, that means nothing to you. And you're like a monologist. You don't have to. An improviser would say aardvark. Oh, it's like an armadillo, the desert. Oh, one time when I was in the desert. But you just, it's your job to just vibe with something.
So But then, like, I then would do, but I remember doing, I just did a bit. Because they said something and I had a bit on it. I just did the bit, which I felt a bit guilty about.
No, but I didn't go in.
They just said, I think they said.
Yeah, you just got lucky, you fuck.
Yeah, they said Malaysia or something. I had a bit about. Or what? I can't remember what it was. Yeah.
I did it and then. I think for some reason, I forget what the prompt was, but a story came to mind that didn't have the prompt in it at all, but was just one that came to mind.
Oh, yeah.
And then I just added the prompt into the story.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
Artificially.
Perfect.
And it worked, and it was fine. And then the next time I did it, I was with someone who I won't name, and I told them that that's what I did last time.
Yeah.
So to make them calm.
Yeah.
And then they did it.
To make them calm.
They did, exactly.
Another golden rule of improv.
Exactly. And then that's why my spirit is sore. Not instead.
It's not soaring, it's sore.
Because it's getting fucked.
All right, let's get real comedy.
That's how they came.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm trying to yes and
you. Yeah, you're doing so well.
That's good.
Also, you are taking a timid character that's deflated.
Exactly. Forward, yeah.
Edging. There we go.
Edging, another part of coming. Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, not really. It's kind of the.
That's what my stand up is like, edging, because I get so close to a laugh, but never get there.
Yeah.
Self deprecating humor. This is what you're projecting. How you see yourself.
Yeah.
But then they did this. They did what I said. But yeah, basically, they quite clearly, and now at this time I was in the audience watching it, did a bit and then added the prompt into the bit. Badly, in a way that was clearly a lie.
They didn't say.
And then the snort people. Sometimes I'll ask follow up questions about like, oh, and then what happened with? And they ask like, what happened with that aspect of it?
Yeah.
And then they were like, nothing further to add. Like it was clear that they'd lied.
Nothing further to add.
And it was real bad. And they came off and they looked at me and they're like, you fucking.
Oh no, Tom, you ruined it
for the bad advice.
Well, I once saw Paul Williams, musician, comedian.
Oh my God, I'm obsessed with his music. I don't know anything about him as a person or a comedian, but.
Bad guy, but good music. Great.
Tom, you're quite close with him, aren't you? You toured together and whatnot.
Yeah, no, I was joking about the bad guy.
You're a good friend to hang out all the time, FaceTime and stuff.
But I watched him do it once. I think we might have done it together once. And he just did, they were like dolphins. And then he just did like dot points, things about dolphins. He was like, they get killed sometimes in nets. And he was like, you can go swimming with them. They're very smart. They like sex.
Yeah, he's doing the word association thing.
Yeah. He just did that. There was no like, I see people in those monologues just tell stories a lot of the time. But he just listed things and then. Walked off. They were like, that's great, we've got so much.
That's the secret of improv, is you just have to do anything.
No wrong
and
answers.
You just kind of commit to it, and that's kind of it. That's like Snake Pit. Like, you know, they give us the words and we're still going to do British accents because we think they're funny. You know,
you guys are always doing British accents.
We always do British accents. You'll see that if you see Snake Pit every week.
I'd just be worried because I feel like, I'm not at the time, the one time I did it, everyone was impressed with me.
Really?
Because, you did a good job.
Oh, no, that's not awesome. Just with at uni or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, because, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Just because... Oh, this is an extremely low level. I just said anything. I'm just like, oh, okay, someone said we're on an island. And then I'm like, okay, so who's going to climb the tree or something?
Yeah.
And everyone's like, how are you even coming up with things? Like, they're at level zero.
That's
and
huge.
I'm at level one.
You're at level three.
I wish. But my concern is, then how do you, to get to something funny, I would, my brain would then go, okay, how are we going to get somewhere funny from here?
Yeah.
And then I'd have an idea, hopefully, in the best case scenario.
Yeah.
And then I'd start implementing that, and then someone else would fucking ruin it immediately because they don't know what I'm planning.
You get angry.
So then it's like, and then I would get angry, I think. Yeah. I'd be like, fuck you, my plan is that the tree's going to fall down and then we're going to fuck it or something.
Yeah.
And you've just said the trees are gone and now we're like, bullshit, that's not frustrating.
I asked Guy Montgomery about that once and he said, you have to believe that when someone's stepping in, they're improving the joke. Yes. If you don't do that, then you can't do improv.
Yes.
Totally.
Yeah.
But what if you don't like them and they're not funny?
Then you're the asshole, unfortunately.
Oh, it goes back to it. Yeah.
That's kind of what that is talking about. Mm. But what if, because I think if you're in a sketch group, I used
Wait, why are you calling it sketch? You know that there's a difference between sketch and improv, right? Sketch is pre-written.
Yeah, I mean, we all know. Do you know that, Tom?
An improv sketch is still a sketch, isn't it?
No, it's improv. Okay. It's not
is that a
sketch?
I'm sorry.
I mean, no.
What is
as
a skit,
well.
By the way?
A skit is a humiliating word for a sketch, right?
Oh.
That's what parents call
it's
a little
like
bit.
It's like our offensive word. We should say you know how to say that
house.
Word.
Skit House ruined it for all of us.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Do this in one of your skits.
It's a nice way to make someone feel small. Like, you know, you worked on some TV show. Oh, you wrote those little skits.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But sketch, is that to you? It makes you feel bad in that same way.
No, I don't really care about it. I don't love a lot of sketch, so I'm impartial to it.
It's right. Like, well, I apologize.
That's okay.
Improv.
No need to apologize.
So yeah, you're in a group. You've chosen to be part of that group.
Yeah.
Presumably, then you endorse their like contributions. Mm-hmm. You think they're funny, then that's fine. If they come in, you've got to trust that they're. But yeah, if you're doing it at some amateur level where you're doing it with randoms,
yes,
I think I would have that trust initially of like this guy could have some good contributions.
Yeah.
But if they prove that they're shit, then like the fourth time they come in, bullshit. You're not like oh. This guy,
ban people. Like you can't, you don't have it in you, son. You can't come.
You only get kind of banned if you do really problematic stuff all the time.
Do
you
people
don't get
do
banned,
that?
Like
banned.
Michael Richards when he went crazy at the Laugh
That one man,
Kramer,
one man sketch that he did.
Yeah, that one man monologue.
Oh, he did all the racist.
Yeah, he
stuff?
Kept saying the N word.
Imagine if Snort had to come on after that and like do the.
You better believe they're asking a few more questions.
So did anything else happen,
Michael? Can you come back? Up, we just
need a few things
to============================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================
nah.
Yeah, I'll give you the honest answer, which is boring, but that is like part of the learning process, is that you learn to like, that's part of like acceptance, the yes part, is that you have to like believe that whatever they're doing is the best thing in the world and you love them. And that is like so
hard.
And it
might be bad. But I suppose that's what you need to learn, because I suppose what I'm worried about is then it not being funny and it being a failure.
Yeah.
I suppose you've got to hand yourself over to the fact that that's possible and like that's just part of it.
Yeah.
And you don't get to control that. Give over control.
And you have to change your... Oh my God, this is so lame.
No.
You have to change your... This is like not funny, it's just true. You have to change your idea of like what is failure. And I learned this... I did this like improv course in Chicago, and I didn't realize that, because it's like it's a summer thing, it's an intensive course, it's all people from international like places all over the world.
Sure. I thought everyone that was white in Chicago has to do an improv course.
that's true. The law. That's true as well. But this intensive thing, because it's like, you know, whatever, it's like people from Germany and France and whatever. So my class of people were mostly people who were really, really new to improv. And at the time, I was really at my own ass, and I still am, about how good I was.
Hang on, they flew from France to do it for the first time.
Yeah, because they're like, because IO is the school.
Is that not Second City? Is that a different one?
That's a different thing. So Second City is like, their big thing is they used improv to write sketches, and then those people did SNL.
And we hate sketches.
You were in the Upright.
And then Upright Citizens Brigade.
That's another one.
Is another one in New York that was started by Amy Poehler. She started at IO in Second City.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
IO was like the origins of improv as an art form itself. This is so lame.
No.
I'm revealing my deepest secret, which is that I am just like a big improv nerd.
You're allowed to be passionate about something.
I mean, it's your religion, for God's sake.
My religion, for God's sakes. And I'm a teacher. I'm spreading the word of God.
You're a teacher. Yeah. You're a priest.
I know. Imagine I get fired. So, and so IO is there like, oh, this is an art form. This is the thing. You know, it's not a tool, because before it was always a tool for actors. And it's like, no, this is the thing. And they did all these fucked exercises like, you know, walking around the room for an hour or whatever. And so, yeah, so I did this IO course.
Walking around the room for an hour.
Improv is fuck. Like, the idea of a bunch of people in a... Oh, my God. Do we just pretend it's fine?
Yeah, just keep going.
Okay, the lights just
the
turned
lights
off.
The lights turned off.
Okay, the lights off.
I might move.
Just go move, just yes and.
Oh,
there we go.
Oh, great. Oh, yeah. Water. No, we're good. Okay, sorry. The...
Improv's crazy. They're walking around the room for an hour.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So imagine, like, the idea of an improv jam without a coach. You say you two.
I just can't.
I mean, I need a coach during a jam.
Imagine you guys and, like, Tim Hewitt. You're old mates.
Yeah,
right?
We're friends.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. You said, great, we're going to do a jam. You show up at Tom's house.
Yeah.
And the three of you, just on your own, you put a timer on 30 minutes and you're like, we're going to do improv.
Psycho.
It's just the three of you alone in a room to no audience going, hello, what are you doing today? Oh, I just thought I'd buy these buns for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Scene, scene, scene. That's how you prepare for improv.
Yeah.
Is that a warm-up game?
That's like, no, that's just like, you would call that like that's a jam. What it is. That's a jam. That's rehearsal. Jamming. Is just improvising. That's the only way you can rehearse.
And the output that you're still going for is humor. You're still trying to be funny to an imagined audience, presumably.
Well, here's the thing. The goal of improv is actually not to be funny.
That comes through sometimes.
That's true. That's why when you see improv shows at schools,
they're like, we nailed it.
It's like,
okay, but what definition? I feel like there's a definitional argument here.
So what's the aim then?
The aim is to...
have fun?
Yeah. I think the aim is to have fun. And the mode of executing that is following the principles of yes and listening and agreement. And
so it's like follow the rules and have fun or get out.
Yeah, pretty much. Or it's like the same as stand up. You learn the rules so much to the point where you can then break the rules. And that's
totally
the best. And then it's easy once you do that. You know what I mean? It's
but once you take in the... But definitely, though, when you do it for an audience, you're taking feedback from them about what's being successful based on what's funny, because there's an output of audiences of,
I think that's what more successful groups are doing. But real improv people don't care about the audience. You learn to be like, no, it's for us. And in a way, that can guide you towards laughter and fun. But like,
because that's generally the kinds of emotions people enjoy experiencing.
I think, yeah.
But also, because
you can't
agree
on that, then...
Yeah.
No, but also, then maybe not. If everyone was really angry, they would yell at each other.
What do you mean, the performers?
Yeah, if they all came...
If you were doing angry improv, like people bought a ticket being like, I'm here to see some angry improv, the onus would be on the performer to perform angry improv. But because the audience is expecting laughter...
But no, this is in a scenario of no audience.
Oh, and are we in that scenario?
Yeah. Oh, well, then you've done... Then you should just... I mean...
Like, what's the purpose?
Let's say kill yourself.
Me, you, and...
I mean, somewhere along that line, yeah.
Me, you, and Huey do this thing that John's talking about. Yeah. We do an hour of improv. Like, what's the point of that? Is for us to enjoy ourselves. If we're all in a bit of a bad mood, as you say, you often bring your current emotion to the characters. We would all be like, oh, you fucking asshole. All right, mate, you fucking dickhead.
All right, governor, you're all right, mate.
Yeah, fuck you, Sam.
I'll suck you off.
Fuck you. That's always where it goes. That's what I told you.
Yeah.
And it is funny.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Funny.
But then that, and if we were enjoying that, then that's, it, again, it's sounding a lot like therapy, and it's not really a...
So, here's
that would be enjoyable for us.
So many things. So, stand-up and improv, I think, have the same relationship to therapy in person. You've seen someone's solo show where it was basically just therapy.
Yeah.
People say that.
No, I have just, where you're like, this is just not fun. You're just talking, there's no jokes.
I think so. I think people do that on
stage. We're now really
sometimes
getting to the weeds here, though, but I think that stand-up comedians will say that. This is basically like therapy. I think that's performative. I've always taken that as being a bit performative.
I agree. I think when a comic goes, this is therapy, that's just a hack line people have done. But I've seen hours shows where I'm like,
they're getting something out.
You just want to say this thing as opposed to caring about the audience or comedy. Yeah. At the moment. This is more about
selfish.
You venting. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But again, maybe there'd be two different categories. One is when people honestly want to get something off their chest and they're venting and that is kind of helpful for them. So that's one category. And that, which is kind of what you're saying. And I think there's another category of people want to be perceived as someone who does that and is kind of performatively doing that. And I think that category is bigger than people think.
I mean, I think that second category is very reflective of trends in performance.
Whether it's cool or not.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Because I do think it does happen.
And that kind of, I think, hopefully ruined that, because it's kind of like, that was done so well, it kind of put a full stop on it.
I guess so. But then there's also, like, people who do jokes, like, you know, like Floyd Alexander Hunt, just jokes about, like, oh, I'm so crazy about all my exes and stuff. That's awesome. Sorry.
No, I vaped. Yeah. Yeah, it happens
the
all the
studio,
time.
In the studio, just a couple of guys talking about improv.
Yeah.
And, like, she does those jokes, and when she... I feel like she could say, like, this is, like, therapy, and that promotes the character that she's doing of this, like, crazy person who's just honestly speaking. But that's quite well calculated.
Well, that's not therapy. That's just part of her. She's trying to get laughs. Like,
right. But do you, so you think that there are people who say this is like therapy and they're trying to project like a Nanette image?
I'm
so,
Nanette, or like I'm more thinking about straight men who are a bit like, I'm so real. And they're like, I'm just saying it like it is and I'm expressing my... And it's like, you're not really. If you were expressing your feelings, you'd be like, I'm worried I'm not funny. But what they're saying is, oh my God, I can't get over my ex-girlfriend because I fuck so much.
God.
You know? Who is this comedian? I haven't seen this comedian.
The character of the coolest guy.
Is he wearing a leather jacket, smoking a cigarette? Exactly. He's vaping on stage.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I went to a side note. I went to a therapist yesterday.
Oh my God.
A new one or a normal one?
New one. I haven't been in a bunch. I haven't been in ages, right? And he wouldn't look me in the eye. Every time he could have been autistic, to be honest. Yeah. Every time he would say something, he would just look away. He'd be like, thanks for coming in, and then look away and be like,
oh my God.
How does that make you feel? And look down at the ground while he was doing it.
How much are you paying?
$190.
Okay.
And when I sat on the lounge, he said no one's ever sat there before.
Oh.
What?
Yeah, and
he's got tests. Where else was there to sit?
Well, so he said people either sit directly in the middle of the lounge or they sit next to the corner of the lounge.
Yeah.
And I kind of sat in the middle, like probably in the middle, one of the side halves.
You laid
but
down.
In the middle of the side half.
As if someone else was going to sit down.
Yeah, but I didn't want, as if, yeah.
Your ego. Well,
yeah, but he was like, he said that at the start, and I was like, this is going to not go well.
I feel like that could be something. Sorry, I'm being very cynical about people's motivations today, but I feel like that might be something he says to everyone to make them feel special.
Oh.
Don't maybe. You think?
If no one's ever sat there before, come on.
Well, he was like, I mean, it was hard to tell if he was telling the truth or not, as he was not looking me in the eye.
Oh, my God. He sounds bad. I would not go back
to him. No, I kind of got on.
What type of therapy? Because I've only been to one person. And, like, yeah, there were different types of therapy. And the one that I went to was, I think the one, I don't know the name of it, but it's the one with, she emoted heaps with it and made lots of eye contact and went,
I think it was that one.
And it was like, that's the whole point of
cognitive?
It.
Cognitive?
Yeah, behavioral therapy.
I feel like cognitive behavioral therapy is the one where they give you homework and you have to write down like all your feelings and why are you feeling it.
He emailed me all this stuff.
Oh, fuck that, man.
That's it.
I didn't know. I didn't even know there was another option to therapy.
I think there's other stuff, but I don't actually know enough about what the different ones are.
Well, I don't think I should, because I was like, oh, he's like, why have you come in? I'm like, I'm really bad. I'm really bad.
It's all bad.
No, it's like time. I'm really bad with time management, and I get stressed out a lot.
Yeah.
And then he was like, "Yeah, all right, but like, I don't know if we can fix that." I think I need to go to. I just need to talk to someone about having a better calendar or something, like a diary. Mm,
they do that sometimes.
Legitimately went in and asked about time management.
Well, I was saying because that was the main thing I want to talk about.
An accountant.
I just feel quite guilty when I'm not getting enough stuff done that I want to do.
Drill down into why you're concerned about time management. You were just getting the conversation kicked off.
Well, I was doing jokes, but I was just trying to get laughs at any moment. Well, it's hard when he's fucking looking out the window.
So he wasn't laughing.
Maybe he was.
I got a few laughs. Yeah, I got a good Woody Allen joke.
Oh,
maybe he was withholding deliberately because he knew that that's what you're after and didn't want to give it to you, so you calmed down or something.
Oh.
I don't want to play mind games with my therapist. My therapist is like...
He also called it a therapy jam.
What?
No, he didn't. He didn't. But imagine
what your Woody Allen gag was before we hear it.
He referenced, because I was talking about stand-up to him, and he referenced the only person that's ever been able to sit down and write a sketch and then go and perform it as Woody Allen. And I was like, I don't know. And then
he said that's the only person who's ever been able to write a sketch.
And then I said... And look what happened to Woody Allen, you know, and then it killed him. He was like, hey, because he's a pedophile. It was a big laugh. But also, I didn't even know if Woody Allen did that. I like
Woody Allen, a therapist's dream. Married his daughter. They love that shit.
I also apologized to him at the start of the therapy session.
For what?
I'm like,
you were late.
No, no, I was on time, but I was like, I'm sure you want, like, you know, like a 16-year-old meth head that's, like, you know, trying to transition and trying to raise money for the third, you know, someone with, like, real problems.
You're like, I'm going to start.
Of course I planned it. I'm out the front writing notes. Like, I'm writing notes in my phone before I go in.
Totally.
Scary, yeah.
And then just trying to be like, what am I, what little lies will I say about myself?
Big little lies.
You can't lie.
Well, no, I'm not going to lie about the big things, but fun little lies.
Why?
Just to kind of throw him, to put him to the test.
Whether he can tell?
Yeah.
I mean, I did find that with my therapist a few years back, didn't challenge me enough. Yeah. I would, like, characterize the situation as being, like, I don't know, how I kind of maybe fairly would sum it up.
Yeah.
But then I'd want her to be like, oh, you know, you're summing it up.
You're perceiving this.
Like, yeah, maybe did it actually happen like that or whatever? And she'd be like, oh, well, sounded like you did the right thing. It's like, no, but don't trust me, you idiot. You know what I mean? I'm describing it so I look like a hero. Yeah. Like, fucking dive in a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, you'd want to see if they catch the lies, I suppose.
Yeah, you don't want them to be like, you don't want to teach them something, I don't think.
Here's what I think about therapists.
True. You want them to be a genius.
Yeah.
You want them to sit above you. Almost like some sort of entity.
You don't want them to be like, good point. And then take, write that down.
Yeah, it's like, that happened to me. I said a thing and she was like, that's good. Nice. I'll tell you what it was.
Oh, yeah.
I said, approaching your 30s, it feels like musical chairs. Everyone's kind of
I love analogies.
Settling down and like finding partners and kind of.
This
and,
is good.
And you don't want to be caught the last one standing.
Yeah. Oh.
That is good.
That is good.
So, you know,
she
enough.
Stops and then pulls out a voice recorder and she said, approaching your 30s is like musical chairs.
Is this my IP or yours?
There's a poster on the wall.
So what's your theory on therapy?
People only go to therapy if they think that they have a problem or they think that they're experiencing a problem, right?
Yeah.
And there's this, like, I feel like there can be this perception that it's like people who need therapy go to therapy. Wrong. Only people who think they need therapy go to therapy.
That's
and if
so
you convince your therapist that you're all good, they're going to be like, great, well, good to see you.
Exactly. I want them to be like, I've got the problem. Well, you know what I mean?
They're not psychic. You know,
no, but read into what I'm saying and stuff. No, I know they're not psychic.
But it is difficult. I spent the first like 2 years with my therapist just talking about being like, I'm late all the time and I'm sad about it. And, you know, my friend said this thing and it made me upset. And I didn't talk about anything that actually mattered for like literally 2 years.
Totally. But aren't they supposed to pack into, like, dig into it? But I think that's not totally on you.
No.
I mean, I agree. I think a good one would try and get past that quicker.
Yeah,
that'd be like, why are you 2 years?
But I mean, they're not incentivized to.
Your
they're getting paid
had no
by
sense
the hour.
Of time growing up.
Exactly. Ask about probing questions.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think that they. I mean, my therapist is very, very good. Ultimately, I love him, but like.
And the same one for 2 years?
I've had him for like, 4 years, maybe. Oh my
God. And what are you talking about now?
Is this thing more money for him? I mean, he's like, not incentivized to solve the issue.
Is it too casual now? It's the mode of communication is much more casual, but the content is much more sensitive and interesting.
Really? And does he always remember where you're up to?
Yeah, he knows me. He's got, I mean, he takes notes, and also the most recent session, I was talking about dating and how I act in relationships, which I was not happy with. I was like, I revert back to, you know, like, I'm a bit like subservient and I don't really speak my mind or whatever. And I was like, oh, I don't like getting people getting too close to me, like in relationships or in, you know, friendships and stuff. You know, I talk about like, oh, Maddie's my only friend, you know, whatever.
She's never listening.
I'm like, that's why she's my friend, because I'm a distance. But
exactly.
We're talking about like, you know, why is this? And about like, you know, what do I think the other people think about me? And I was like, he was like, what do you think? How do people describe you? And I was like, if people really got to know me, like, real me all the time, I would say that they would probably think I'm like loud, intense, and maybe a bit weird. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, if it's like, if you see me like at peak John, and I'm like, wait,
lesbian night.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then he was like, do you want me to say what I think you're like?
Oh my God.
I know. And I was like, I don't know if I want that. And I was like,
oh my God, I'd be like, yes.
I'd be like, yes.
Until I don't like it, and then he'd say, no.
He goes, do you want me to tell you? And he goes, well, that's all for today. You'll have to come back next week.
That'll be $300. No, and I was like, okay, you can do it, but I won't look at you. And he said,
oh my God.
He was like, I think that you're probably you are like weird, loud, and intense. I think that's true. I think you are accurately perceiving yourself.
Yes.
But I think you're thinking that those things are bad and that you're assuming that people think that you're annoying. And I was like, oh my God, that's true. I think that people think I'm annoying.
Totally.
Because I've had people say that to me.
Sure.
And they're right.
Did you tell him that bit though?
Yeah. I've got proof.
I've got data that suggests I'm annoying.
Yeah. And it's like, I think therapy is not about fixing you. You're going to be the same piece of shit person no matter what, but it's changing the perception of it. So it's like when people say I'm annoying, I'm like, I know that that can be true. And also, I don't mind that you think that I'm annoying because that just means that you don't like me. And that's
fine. Well, it's just a compatibility issue. Some percentage of the population find everyone annoying.
Absolutely.
Your percentage could be more than Taunton's, for example. Let's say
of 20. How annoying I find people.
No, as in, like, what percentage of people find you annoying to him? Mm. Let's say he's 17% and you're 20. You're like 3% more.
40, you know.
Even if it was 40. 60 don't, and you don't care about the 40. For it's sure. like, and there's always a percentage that do, so like, who cares?
Exactly. You just get on board or whatever. Mm. But like, there are things that you let take control of you. You like being late and feeling bad for that. Like, today I was 15 minutes late. Normally, oh my God, I would show up, I'd be a wreck. I couldn't stop. I would be like, can't stop apologizing. I'm so sorry. I'd feel so guilty.
But you are so little.
The low respect for the people that you were seeing allowed you to overcome this issue in this particular case.
You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly.
I'm glad we could help you make a discovery about your innermost thoughts.
You know, but then you're like, oh, it's fine. And I was like, oh, it's fine. And that's it. You know? Mm. Whereas like, and that's therapy. God, this is so earnest.
No, because
the last recording was funny and this one's all serious.
We're going to throw the last one in the bin.
Yeah.
It's all garbage.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that's so interesting though. Yeah, because it is totally about, I mean, but I'm also quite anti too much self-love. I think it's horrible.
Me too.
Do you know what I mean? People are just like, there's no faultless, believe in yourself. I'm like, no, you should be self-critical because you'd be critical about anything else in the world. Yeah. Why are you not going to apply that same set of like judgment on yourself?
Completely. That's why I didn't like the reaction of, oh, you did the right thing there. Like the therapist making me feel better. It's like, that's what friends do when you tell them.
Yeah, and you don't want
that. And I'm good at doing that for myself as well, rationalizing.
Yeah.
It's like, I want you to be a bit more truthful, I suppose. In my mind, that's what you're paying them for.
Because like if you went, so hypothetically you went to your therapist and you were like, I cheated on my partner or I killed someone. Yeah. Maybe that's a better one. I killed someone.
I mean, there they have a legal obligation to.
Yeah, okay. Maybe not that one. I cheated on my partner. Yeah, that's probably one that they would probably deal with a bit, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Are they going to be like, well, you did what you had to do and, you know, obviously something else wasn't correct in relate. We need to work. Or are they going to be like, you're a fucking piece of shit. Like you
somewhere in the middle, surely.
It's their job to just say, okay, so you cheated on your partner. Yeah. And, you know, what happened? And
totally.
And it's like, if you say to them, you know, I felt really good afterwards and I think it was the right thing, then they'll be like, okay, yeah. Like, that. It's their job to not pass judgment.
Because they can't pass judgment, but there can be the right amount of, like, how are you feeling about the morality of that?
Totally. You know? They should point out there is, because like morality is not black and white, but there are definitely areas where you'd be
that
like,
that could be a source of guilt. But the focus would still be on you, I suppose.
They would have to acknowledge that you are in the wrong at some point without passing judgment.
I don't know if they would.
Really?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the rules are.
Your guy wouldn't, you don't think?
My guy, I think if I cheated on someone once.
Right.
I'm sorry to bring it up.
Well, it wasn't traumatic for me. I felt fine about it. Yeah. I wouldn't talk about it.
You told me that story.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Yeah, the other week.
Absolutely, yeah. And it was like, and it was bad at the time, hurt the guy's feelings. Do I regret it? Yeah, a bit. I shouldn't have done it, sure. But it's like, when I said it, I think I was like, I did it. And he was like, do you feel bad? And I was like, yes, but also, you know what I mean? And he didn't rake me over the coals. Like, I agree.
You can't moralize.
No, I'm not saying you do that, but like,
you allude to the fact that it's a bit frowned upon in society, for sure.
I don't know. I don't think they necessarily do
but
that.
But unless...
It depends on every therapist, obviously.
What if you didn't bring it up as it was a negative? You were like, I did the best thing. I cheated
then
on my partner.
I'd feel kind of like lied to.
The therapist.
If they didn't mention this, like Taunton's saying, I feel like it'd be like, yeah, well, this is all fake. Like, they're just telling
me. I think they have to acknowledge that there's something wrong, but they don't have to judge you on it.
It would be so hard not to ask like, if I was a therapist and someone was like, I'd be like, show me a photo. Like, I want to be, you know what I mean? Like, I want to know about
what's their name? I'll get them up on Insta right now.
Oh, shit. And then
And what happened? You went out for a drink.
With someone else? Okay, get her up. Let's show me the Tinder
profile. Well, I told you the first therapist I ever had asked me to get tickets to Reese Nicholson's show.
For him.
For her, yeah.
What?
And I was like, I don't know. Therapist. I was like, come on.
For free
what
tickets.
What the fuck?
Wanted me to get free tickets.
Because you were friends with Reese.
She just knew I was we were talking about being a comedian and stuff. And she was like, oh, yeah, could you get
me? Didn't even talk about Reese.
Was she joking?
The show, no, because she wanted to, the show had sold out or something at the comedy festival.
Oh, my God.
And she was like, do you know anyone that could get tickets?
That's crazy.
Which does seem like not professional.
That's bad. Yeah, I'd say bad.
That's bad. Yeah. Well, I'm not there to pass judgment. I'm like, okay, well, then let's move forward. It's tickets? Oh, let's
get it. Let's get it rolling.
How about that? How about this? Sorry. You go to two therapists in the same clinic.
Yes.
And you see them both separately and you tell them different lies about the other person's sessions and why you're not happy with their therapy services.
Okay, so you talk about your other therapist. Wasn't this what Michael Hing was doing? Like,
he was seeing two therapists at once.
Different clinics, though, right?
Different clinics.
Yeah.
But this one, you're like, oh my God, I'm just struggling with Emily in there because.
Out the nose for this joke. I mean.
Well, I feel like it would be expensive, but you'd maybe tell them that their things aren't working because they're very critical and you're scared that they're being too territorial about you.
Yeah.
And because that she's always like bitching about you and saying how you're a bad therapist, but I really like you. And then in the other one, you say the same thing and then you can like just watch them. And then now who needs therapy now? Dickhead.
That'll show them.
Yeah, that'll
most
really.
Most therapists have therapists, actually.
Oh.
Yeah. I have heard that.
Yeah. Because it's like
they just look in the mirror and talk, don't they?
You're beautiful. I love you.
Yeah. You cheated. Don't tell anyone.
Don't do it.
Our little secret.
That's a bit human centipede-y for me.
In the mirror,
looking in the mirror and talking.
No, as in like the cheating. Therapist has a therapist. Then that therapist presumably has a therapist.
Probably.
The and then like when does it end? Who's the top therapist? Like I want that guy.
Well, I don't even understand therapy is or what the real point of it is.
I think but I think sharing the thing that you're feeling, I think is part of the point of it.
Yeah. Therapists are still bad. I know this girl that like worked at a reception. She was like 22, and this 50-year-old therapist like started sleazing onto her, and like they started hooking up, and then he left his family, and then like there, and then 9 months into their relationship, then he broke off with her because he started fucking the other new receptionist that replaced her job.
Totally.
Like, how could you ever trust this person?
Well,
like,
don't go to them.
He should be deregistered.
But he was like considered like he was a big therapist.
This is the thing; it would go to their heads if they were like.
Oh my
God,
it would. Cause
you know what I mean? The steps that you take, if you made little improvements, they'd be like, yeah, I'm the fucking best therapist.
Well, I've like given good advice once in my life and someone's been like, thank you for that advice. And I felt unbelievable. Totally. Like imagine if you're doing that daily to three people, four people.
Yeah. I almost sold the woman's chair after I said the 30s thing. She went, that's good. I'm like, well, fucking, who's next? You take a break.
Yeah, I'll take the next one. Exactly. Yeah, I've got a good advice. That's so funny. Therapists, they're just people and they can do whatever the fuck they want.
Exactly, which is depressing because you think of them as being kind of another class. Are you going to go back to this guy?
Yeah, I'm going back next week.
Really?
Yeah.
We're going weekly.
I think it's worth a crack. I kind of like him a bit as well. He was laughing a bit, which I liked. And no, I did like him. He was a nice guy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we didn't look in the eyes at any point.
Man, not a woman?
Man. And I've only ever had women before.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What's going on there?
What's going on there? Yeah, what's up?
No, I rang them and it's also like so hard to get into therapy. Like every place I rang, they were like, oh, you got on a waiting list for like 2. I'm like, imagine if someone was going to blow their brains out and they're like, you've got to wait 3 months. It's and then like you get in there and they're like, we'll talk to you about. Then you're like, and what's the reward? I pay fucking $200 an hour. Like, it's just this big.
But then the one that would take you immediately, you wouldn't want them.
Well, that's the thing. But everyone talks about it's like we need to do more. Government's like we're going to invest more in mental health. But it's so fucking hard to find to talk to a therapist.
Yes.
It's like this stuff seems to be as easy as going to like a bulk build medical center.
Yeah.
And you just slot in and you just chat to someone. You should be able to go to a curtain. Well, I guess that was church, what
church.
It used to be.
Yeah.
But then you had to talk about
your
sins.
What about a secular confessions booth?
Oh, I think that'd be great.
We should start that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if confessing makes me feel better about things, though. you know?
Yeah, maybe you'd make it a bit more broad than confessing, because confessing is a bit religious.
You have to justify what you did, you know?
Yeah, okay, the opposite of confessing. Exactly.
There is something, like that whole imagery of confessing to, like, a fat, drunk Catholic priest drinking whiskey, like, just, like, hating his life. Like,
yeah, that's...
just being like, oh, and yeah, and then what did you do?
That's, like, the top of gossip.
Ask God for forgiveness.
Yeah, just not listening. People come, like, line up around the block to tell him, like, all the best goss, and he's, like, so sick of it. Like, his level for what good goss is just through the roof.
Yeah.
Everyone else would die to be in that booth.
That's so funny.
Oh, God.
I can't say anything to my therapist that's, like, true or embarrassing or humiliating without laughing.
But you laugh a lot when you talk.
Yeah, because I laugh at the feeling of being embarrassed or humiliated.
So that's really annoying.
yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm kidding.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but it's true. It's funny. It's good. We all do it.
He's glitching.
Shut up.
I'm so sorry for abusing a quite personal thing that you revealed.
No, I don't think. I'm thinking about confession.
Yes.
When people confess something serious.
Yeah.
Like if you walked into.
And then you laugh. Yeah.
The booth. Like. You know, and you're like, I sucked my dog's dick.
Yeah.
Hardcore, like.
Hard. I sucked my dog's dick. Hard.
Hard.
To think you need to add to it?
Yeah.
To make it crazy.
He's like, can you elaborate anymore? It's like, snort. Any more details we can use?
It was hard. I'm good at it.
Real hard. I did it hard. It was hard.
It wasn't just a first pass. It was like, you know, I came back for more.
I had that accidental laugh mildly recently. My grandma was in the hospital.
Yeah.
And she was in like a shared room.
Yeah.
And I think it was like a palliative care unit. Like quite a few, like quite old people there. And then she was sharing with a this other woman who was like, seemed pretty sick, but she was like lucid. And when I was there visiting her one time, the other woman was like, excuse me, can you go and ask a nurse to come around?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, okay. And went and got a nurse. Nurse came in and then was like talking to this woman. She seemed a bit kind of not all there because she was asking them to like move the curtains in an unreasonable way. And I just overheard her chatting with the nurse.
Yeah.
And then got back to talking to my grandma. I didn't think much of it. About a week later, I went to visit grandma again. She was in a different room. And I'm like, oh, why are you in a different room? And she's like, oh, I got moved around because... the woman I was in the other room with died. And I went like,
Jesus.
I'm like, what? Like it was just, I don't know, it was so quick. I'm like, and I didn't really know her or anything. And so I suppose I didn't. But it's
that
bad.
Just came
like,
out.
That's hard so for funny. My grandma to be, you know, in a room with, with someone dying. That's not great. And I shouldn't
to
be laughing.
Face but to face with death, yeah.
But it was like. Funny.
Yeah.
But that is like, that's the thing of laughter and humor. It actually is unexpected. That's what triggers it, you know? It's
exactly.
Like,
I live for the seriousness. Like, the funniest thing is when people are so serious. It's like, yeah, you know, like you watching, it's like going to watch Sticks and Stones. It's watching people be so genuinely serious about the art of doing stand up comedy. Like, when people are so serious, or like the other day on the radio, I heard a report that was like, a fatal shark attack sighted off the coast of Queensland has been described by two onlookers as gruesome. Like,
it's like terrific insight.
I just think it's funny to me.
That
like,
is funny.
They asked them, like,
to picture the two.
What was it
onlookers?
Like? And they're like, gruesome. You watch someone get eaten alive by a shark. Or it's like...
Yeah, it was gruesome.
Yeah.
Gruesome. Or I have to go through all these... And part of my day job, I have to go through all these lawyers' websites. And they describe who works there. And they say, like... There's one website that was like... It was like... You know, like... John... Like, you know... Tom Cashman and Sam Taunton, parentheses, deceased, began this firm. It's just going to be like, he died. Anyway.
Anyway, we're good at insolvency.
Yeah.
Forget about that dead guy.
Corporate litigation.
Yeah.
It's important to have this photo on the website and to say that he's dead. But, you know, we're available.
It is funny, isn't it, just putting the like someone being dead in. It's like not really relevant when you're reading about something at all. It happens on Wikipedia sometimes. Like it'll just be, or in paintings a lot of the time. Yeah, in captions about paintings. It'll be like.
Paintings?
You know, if it's like someone, if you're in a museum.
That should be the rule. You have to write deceased like on the painting.
Maybe you'd want someone to always reference you as dead when you're dead. I don't know. Maybe that's what you want.
I wouldn't want people to talk about me like I was alive, I was dead.
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah, you'd be like, tell them that it's all over.
Yeah, yeah. But it's just the dropping of such serious facts.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
You know, I think it's funny. Yeah.
Should we wrap up?
Sure, yeah.
Sure.
Just because... You know, it's been a while, kidding. But it's with the fun. Other, add the other half, it's like a long podcast episode.
They're going to be like, that guy was annoying.
No, not annoying.
I don't think I'm annoying.
Yeah, you do.
You're annoying.
You told us you do.
Yeah, but I've worked through it now because of therapy.
Es lo que te manda, panda, 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 panda. Nunca le diga que no al panda, 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 panda. Ya sé lo que te manda, panda, 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 panda. Nunca le diga que no al panda, panda, panda. Panda, panda, ya sé lo que te mata.